Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
I don't know if you know this or not, but this last week was, you're starting to see a lot more Guy Fawkes masks out there. And that's one of the prophetic words that we had given. A leader with Hamas is saying to Hezbollah, a leader makes a speech via video saying that in southern Beirut, that there's going to be rockets coming into Israel. You're seeing this escalation of, you know, an intifada. And what that means is uprising and a holy, what they would consider a holy uprising, right. They would call it that. The difficult thing they're having, though, reports on by CBN News, is that even though they're offering to pay people to fight their war, Arab people are starting to say, I don't care. They never bought, a lot of people you saw fighting on the news on behalf of these individuals, the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood, according to so many other people that have reported this, Hamas, Hezbollah, and all that, they were getting paid to do it. They needed money. And I mean, how many people go to their job? I mean, think about this. How many people go to their job? And it shouldn't be us, but you know, other people. How many people go to their job and they think, you know, I'm here for the paycheck,
right?
I mean, they're not really buying into this whole new widget vision thing or whatever, yeah. But they're there for the paycheck. I mean, if you don't have any money, you got to feed. There's a chance, especially with what's being taught in your schools and everything in that area. But what's exciting to hear, reports are right now from CBN News that people are not, Arab people are not willing to take that paycheck from the militant arm of the Muslim Brotherhood.
Wow.
Which is, you know, they have, there's nothing, if they don't have anybody, because nobody, most people don't believe in this. They don't believe this is just something that, that you just do. And that's exciting. Continue to pray for the revival taking place in the Arab lands and in Gaza and all the areas in Iraq and northern Africa, which is Libya and Egypt.
Egypt, all those areas right there.
Chad and Morocco. And what's it, right? That's a little humorous thing. Ask an Americans, you know, John didn't know where D.C. was. So that was just a joke.
Yeah, right.
Just a joke. Wear that one joke out, right?
That's right.
But we'll be talking about that as well.
Hopefully, faithful, it keeps coming up.
We're just trying to pick. It's hard to pick, and that one just surfaces since that's the capital of all jokes. That's the capital of all jokes. You know what I'm talking about? But, you know, when Bob Jones passed this year, I mean, Bob Jones, you have, if you hang around Morningstar, I mean, they say things like this and nobody blinks. You know, I was just in a dream and I was flying around here.
I know.
Yeah. And you look at, you know, you got grown folks sitting around, executives, you got your typical person going like, mm-hmm. Well, praise God. That's great. So you were flying with what did the Lord reveal to you when you were flying around? It's true. And, but if you look in the Bible, you'll find out that's how, you know, that's what happened to the evangelist
Philip.
You know, he you know, just was here and then
he
there.
Wasn't, yeah.
That was Enoch, but he actually was again.
He went somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah, right. It was close. It was half doctrinally correct. And I'm we're just having fun today, aren't we?
Yeah, yes, we are. Yeah.
But it's important to understand that that's written in the Bible. And if everything that God did, that Jesus did, was written in the Bible, there wouldn't be room enough to contain it. We can personally begin to really relate to that because we're trying to grab these answers to prayers, these powerful things, and make them available to this, you know, our prayer community because they're praying and God's answering and share things here on. But he's doing so much, we're just kind of reaching up and grabbing something and just going like, okay, he just healed someone. He just raised someone from the dead, you know? I was just thinking about the guy that was sent to go do his funeral, and I finally just said, you know, can I speak life over him before that, you know, asking for permission because they were ready to bury him. He was in hospice and he was out. And they said yes. And guess what? I got a phone call in a few hours later that says he's sitting up laughing and talking about going fishing. God raised this man, you know, from his deathbed.
Awesome.
This is so exciting. So first we're going to go to this leader of Hezbollah and see what they're talking about in Israel, about Israel. You got to see this. John is going to interpret this as you see it and you hear it on the TV. Watch.
Down Haifa, port, and so on and forth. That is correct. You will have to shut down your airports and you will not find any single place in occupied Palestine that the rockets of the Islamic resistance in Lebanon will not be able to reach.
This is a totally amazing what's taking place there, because we can get our distracted by, you're about to see Israel facing the next intifada. And intifada is, you know, Americans, we've got to start using words we understand.
Right.
Uprising, that they're talking about a third uprising, a whole, enough intifada would say, based on the religion, it would be something that they would approve of, you know, sex of that religion. But just understanding that this is Israel. Ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. And, you know, Israel is totally surrounded. At, you know, all the things you can find on the related links about what's going on. Iran's working on the nuclear weapons, nuclear weaponry that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is telling us, you know, everything's important. Ultimately important is what Iran's doing over here. And the reason why relations are not well with our Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and President Barack Obama, because President Barack Obama has been trying, has been organizing the Middle East, as he said, the Middle East need to be organized, and he is building relationships and letting the wind of Arab Spring blow over every nation that wanted to, except for Iran and the Green Party. And it's, you know, something is being totally set up. You're going to begin to see, too, in our next program, you'll hear this, but we've been saying this, you know, watch Turkey and watch the Ottoman Empire begin to arise again. And notice that our president sent the Iron Curtain to Turkey. And look how Turkey's kind of just sitting back and coming down as ISIL is coming up into Turkey and beginning to attack the Kurds and the Kurdish army that's there. And it's like, how did this thing come about, Turkey? And then remember, the Turkey's leader, the president,
Erdogan
got into office because he preached against hatred towards Israel, hatred towards Jews. That's why they promoted him there. And so you have this huge win, of which our president openly saying that he's supportive, he thinks it needs to be organized. He openly said it needed to go back to the 1967 border lines, and which is undefensible borders, which we talked about in a previous program, which takes us back to the 60s, which is not good, which we talked about as well. But as we're seeing now, here's America coming into this wave where people are going to get the sense of, okay, we don't have to pay attention. Israel is surrounded, and they're wanting to cause another third uprising. And the uprising is polarization. You first have to organize to polarize to get what you want. It's basic satanic principles written down in a book by Saul Alinsky called Rules for Radicals, taught by our president for 4 years, by the way, written and mentored students are President Barack Obama when he wasn't president, and Hillary Rodham Clinton, who is, by the way, behind the scenes. And I can't help but see this. I just really see that her, I believe probably she's going to run for president. I don't know or not, but, there is a 16-year plan, and it's not necessarily, I think that, you know, possibly the president and Hillary Clinton are in agreement with the plan, but I don't think it's their plan. I think it's more of the few that control the finances aspect of it. And one person is George Soros, that was sitting on some sort of committee of hers, that her daughter got married at his daughter's house. And he's the one that has made some money off the falling of economies. And you befriended someone who says that the European Union's fallen, the economy's fallen, you just got to ease it down slowly. Mm. And you're looking at America's economy right now, that it's been eased down slowly by being, you know, printing money and all those different things. But one of the big things I heard about, and we're going to go and understand this in a conjunction to, if we watch Israel, then we'll humble ourselves and say, you know what, God, we got to get right with you. The whole thing is to get right with you. But there's so many unfunded liabilities. When you hear our next program and hear what John Paul Jackson is going to be talking about, it is not the lower class or the high class, whatever, the two high and low pay people that's going to be fighting. It's going to be all the people that aren't doing squat, They're sitting back, and every time you talk to them about doing something for God, they go, you know, I got my retirement. I got my 401k. I got my union. Everything's going to be all right. Mm-hmm. Those are the folks. They're going to be so upset. They're going to be so upset because these are called unfunded liabilities. State after state knows, these people who ran for governor, that there's just not money there to be able to pay those retirements. That's why people could sit passively back and watch you just shrivel up and die. You're thinking like, I've got my God. You know, I've got my provision. It's like, but God's God, and he'll take that away. We could repent and we could have it, and God could give us wisdom. And I think, you know, we will at some point, and minimum force necessary is going to be used. But look what's happening to Israel right now, and we kind of predict what's going to be happening to the church unless, you know, we want to pray for the peace of Israel. Watch now. CBN News.
John, Julie, thanks for joining us. Julie, there's been a lot of violence here. There's been riots. There's been terror attacks. Some people think we're on the verge of a third intifada. What do you think?
That's right, Chris. Some people think we're on the verge of it. Some say we're already in it. Others say, no, we're not going to have a third intifada at all. There are some differences between this and the previous two intifadas, armed uprisings of the Palestinians. One thing is that this one is really centered in Jerusalem. We really haven't seen attacks anywhere else in the country. One of the similarities is that the reports that we're hearing is that the people are being paid. Just like in the second intifada, there were some 40,000 terrorists, people paid to be terrorists. That, you know, if people said, hey, what does your dad do? They said, hey, my dad's a terrorist. And they really got paid to do terrorism. The similarity is that most of the Palestinians are not really in favor of this. It's really just a paid job.
Yeah. John, turning to the big news in the United States about the midterm elections, how do you think the midterm elections and the results now that the Republicans are controlling the U.S. Senate is going to affect U.S.-Israel relations?
Well, I think that it's good news, basically, for the government of Israel and the people of Israel that these elections worked out the way they did. I think what you're going to see, first of all, every committee chairmanship in the U.S. Senate is going to change hands now from Democrats to Republicans. What that means is several pro-Israel senators are going to come into a position where they can call hearings, they can start to open up and investigate U.S. policy in the Middle East, which most Americans believe right now is a failure, and that can't do anything but help Israel, in my view. I think that, you know, for instance, John McCain is about to become chairman of the Armed Services Committee. We'll have a new chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee who won't have to do the bidding so much of the State Department and the White House. Now, Obama is still commander-in-chief, and in that sense, he can wield a great deal of foreign policy power, but he's going to have to answer to Congress, and I would be very surprised and disappointed if Congress doesn't start opening up some hearings right away about U.S. funding of terrorism, about support for Israel's enemies at the expense of, support for U.S. enemies at the expense of allies like Israel. And I think that there's going to be a little bit of a spotlight shined on what the administration's been doing over the past several years.
You know, later this month, there's going to be a big decision about the Iran's nuclear program, negotiations going on between the P5 plus one. Do you think this is going to affect those negotiations?
I'm concerned that they're going to try and ramrod these negotiations through before a new Senate and Congress is allowed to take power next January. I think that it's high on the Obama administration's list to reach an agreement with Iran, and more importantly, to prevent Israel from doing anything to stop it. That sounds just unbelievable, but that would be the central foreign policy of the administration, but that seems to be exactly what it is. So unless something dramatic changes, I would see the Obama administration going forward pushing even harder to try and reach some sort of agreement with Iran before the new Congress can get its legs.
And John, there has been some speculation that the Obama administration might actually pull the diplomatic cover for Israel in the United Nations. Any likelihood of that happening?
Oh boy, that would spark a real Donnybrook in the United States, I think. We've just seen a huge statement by the American people repudiating the Obama agenda, and it would really be a reach for them to do that. I can't say they wouldn't, though, Chris. I don't know if they would actually try and do something like that. I think that the days of them being able to pull these kind of things and getting some cover from leaders in Congress is maybe about to come to an end. I pray that that's the case.
Yeah. And Julie, you did a story recently about Israeli Americans voting in the U.S. elections. What are they looking for in these elections?
Well, you know, Chris, judging from the answers I got last week, there's a lot of happy people that the Republicans have now taken back control of Congress, of the Senate and the House of Representatives. I think, you know, most people are concerned about America for their relatives' sake, but over here, they're looking at the foreign policy. And until now, the Obama administration foreign policy hasn't been so good in the Middle East, not just for Israel, but for the surrounding countries. I think most people are glad that the Republicans are back in charge in Congress, and they're hoping that that will carry some weight as far as the Obama administration goes.
Okay. Well, John, Julie, thanks for joining us. It's going to be fascinating to see how this unfolds and very important for both Israel and the United States. Thanks for joining us.
When we get back from this break, we're going to hear a prophetic word spoken by Bob Jones about these last 2 years of President Obama. It's going to really get your attention, but we've got to pay close attention prophetically. What is God saying? What is the Lord saying to his church? You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.